From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
So they're splitting in two. What's this designed to do for Spark?
Yeah, we'll talk about oil later, but first of all, let's talk about Spark. Yeah, one of the slightly bigger stocks on the local exchange, and traditionally it's been a sort of, for investors, it's been a sort of attractive destination for its distribution, its steady earnings. That was sort of historically. Now, that thesis has been questioned a little bit over the last couple of years, and there's been a really steady fall in the share price. I mean, if I go back to early 2024, the share price was over $5. It's now sitting below $2. So, you know, from the point of view for the market analysts, Mike, this company needs a bit of a reset. It needs a catalyst for the share price to be re-rated and to recover. Well, maybe something is stirring in the background, so we could see some action. So Spark yesterday issued an NZX announcement. Now, there were three key messages in the announcement. The first one is they're splitting the company up into a new structure, so two new divisions, a digital services division and a connectivity division. Now, the connectivity is the core stuff. That's what they want to concentrate on. The digital services division is described as non-core. Now, it's going to hold things like the cloud business and IT services. So they're going to hold begin a strategic review of the digital services division. So that was the first thing. Secondly, they said they reiterated their guidance. We always like to see that for the 2026 earnings. And they announced some management changes. Now, one of the reasons for the share price softness has been their profitability coming under some pressure. And one possible outcome, I'm not saying it will happen, but a possible outcome could be a sale of the digital services division. So they're really looking to maximize the value and the returns generated by that digital services for their shareholders. They've appointed an advisor to help them. They expect the review to be completed by the first half of their 2027 financial year. Now, the share market did react positively. Yes, they might see, you never know, something could be stirring down there at Spark.
Yeah, interesting. Westpac leapt up on the mortgages yesterday. They're blaming the wholesale market, and I'm looking at the wholesale market this morning, it's going backwards.
Exactly. So this is all oil bonds in the Middle East. Now, sort of what happened yesterday, Mike, we're the first market, we talk about this often, we're the first market to come online after the weekend. And when our market opened yesterday, we promptly priced long-term interest rates lower. So our swap rates fell sort of 9 to 10 basis points. That's quite a big move for the local market. And now why? Because we've had 3 days of no military strikes from the US. They are now apparently giving peace a chance, which is yet again a reasonably sharp reversal from what they've been saying the days beforehand. So more twists and turns in the Middle East conflict. Now, the oil price has reacted quite sharply. Now, so let's just do a quick recap on this. Brent crude, back on the 23rd of July, was over $100 a barrel, or US dollars. At the beginning of July, it had fallen to $70 a barrel when we were full of hope and optimism about the ceasefire and the memorandum of understanding. Do you remember that? There was that memorandum, yeah. Well, we're now looking at oil at about $89 an hour, so we've got a lower oil price. If it holds, is better news on the inflation front, cue lower interest rates. But Mike, I think, or it feels like we're entering another period of headline-driven volatility, which is, you know, quite hard for people to plan for, just ask the New Zealand government. So look, I mean, it was reported that the US has sort of dwindling munition supplies. That's been denied by the US. But Mike, I've mentioned this before. Some of the buffers that have absorbed the pressure on the oil markets through the recent surprise shock, things like strategic oil reserves, China lowering its demand for oil imports, there is not as much conviction now that those buffers could persist or could act as effectively through another extended period of supply shock. So what that means at the moment is the stakes are higher. So you've got an amplified risk of sudden price hikes if fresh geopolitical supply disruptions occur. So, I mean, I've used the term before, Mike, but I just feels like we're delicately poised. We could go one way or other, depending on this duration.
I agree. What are the numbers?
So the Dow Jones is up. So the US market's a little bit mixed. The Dow Jones is up at 128 points, about 0.25%, 52,075. But the S&P 500 is slightly down, 0.14%, 7,401. And the NASDAQ down a little bit more. The chip makers, as you suggest, are under a bit of pressure because those announcements coming out of China. So the NASDAQ's down 0.5%, 125 points, 24,850. The FTSE 100 overnight gained 0.42%, 10,781. The Nikkei up 0.5%, 64,000. 931. The Shanghai Composite up just over 1%, 3858. The Australasian markets, though, did have a good day yesterday. The ASX 200, 8893. It was up 1.39%, and the NZX 50 gained 0.57%, 13,850. One Kiwi dollar, 0.5775 against the US, 0.8263 against the Aussie, 0.5078 euro, 0.4345 pounds, 94.54 Japanese yen, gold, $4,076. And as I said, Brent crude sort of just sort of hovering around that 88, actually just fallen in the last couple of minutes while we've been speaking, $88.29 as I look at it now.
All right, mate, go well. We'll see you tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.